If you would, why don't you turn with me to the book of Jonah? Jonah chapter 3. We're going to read verses 9 through 10 this morning in our morning message. At this point in the book of Jonah, God has asked or commanded Jonah to go and tell the city of Nineveh that judgment is coming within 40 days. Jonah told him, no, I'm not going to do that. The audacity. And the Lord changed his mind through the ministry of a big fish. And then as we pick up in Jonah chapter 3, it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah this time obeys. He goes to the city. He preaches, in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown, and the people, huge surprise, react in faith. They turn from their sin. They cover themselves with sackcloth from the highest to the low, from the king to the peasant. Even their animals are covered in sackcloth, and they repent of their sins. They turn from their evil and wicked ways as a response to the message of Jonah. And that's where we find ourselves now here in verses 9 and 10 as we continue a series of messages here that we've been preaching since the 4th of July weekend, where we're talking about how it is that God can save a nation. I'm afraid this morning that the country that we love, America, the beautiful, the United States of America, is in danger of judgment this morning. A judgment that might come sooner than we realize. A judgment that, hey, we don't know, might be 40 days or sooner away from us. And so it is that I believe it's incredibly relevant that we preach and pray as a church that God would save our nation. But there is teaching in God's Word about how God is able to do that. And we've been preaching through this third chapter of Jonah to discover just that. So if you would, if you can and you're able, why don't you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Again, we'll just read these two verses, verses 9 and 10. This is the king now, having made his proclamation that everybody in Nineveh cover themselves with sackcloth, himself sitting in ash off of his throne. He says in verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Before I read this next verse, I want you to understand and realize that is the gap that separates you and God. Who can tell whether he'll be merciful to us who are sinners and need his salvation? That's where all of us are today, in that same place. And as a country today, that's where we are, and that's where Nineveh was. Even though we've cried out urgently for salvation, who can tell? Here it says, whether God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. But then we see in verse 10 the answer of the Lord, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for the blessings of life. We thank you again for this morning, the sweet spirit we felt today, just the fellowship of your saints. I pray now, Lord, that in the hour of preaching, we might lock in, Lord, on what your spirit would have us to know, what your spirit would have us to do. We pray for this great country, Lord, that we're part of, and we pray for our place in it. But most of all, God, we pray that anybody who hears this message today might acknowledge and understand their place as a sinner. And if they've never reached out and called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, Lord, I pray this will be the day that they make that crucial decision. Lord, let it be so. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Speaking as a human this morning, we reach the end of this chapter, and this is where we would expect the happy ending. You know, I'm not going to be too silly this morning. The book of Jonah is something that we don't often preach in our churches. More often, the story of Jonah is told in Sunday school. It's told in vacation Bible school. It's told to our children. And it's a good story to tell our children. So we don't often hear it from the pulpit. But like any story that you tell to children, the expectation is often that we would have a good ending or a happy ending to the story. You know, my little daughter, Hazel, she loves stories. Now, she'll go and get a book and she'll start reading it. I say reading it because I'm pretty sure she doesn't know what the words say. But she knows they're on the page and she'll put her finger on them and she'll start going, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Flip the page. Blah, 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 blah. And she'll do that. Sometimes for 30, 40, 45 minutes. I don't know. And I'll just let her do it. All right. But all the stories that I tell and read to Hazel and the things that she watches on TV when we let her watch it on TV, all of them have good endings, happy endings. The little bunny boy stays with his little bunny mama. So sweet. Everybody goes to sleep and they have a good rest and a good night and they wake up happy in the morning. Oh Lord, let it be. The princess always finds her prince. What a good ending to the story. So with kids' stories, we expect, we desire, we look for those happy endings. But church, you and I both know that this is real life. And would you know that the story of Jonah in the Word of the Lord isn't just some fable. It isn't just some story. It's real life. It really happened. And in real life, though we desire and want happy endings aren't always what we get, right? Sometimes in real life, things happen that we wish they wouldn't happen. That's just the way that life is. So it's fair that once we reach the end of Jonah here, that we not know for certain which way it's going to go. And in fact, as we just read here, the participants of the story itself didn't know how it was going to end. Even these ones here, these pagans, these unbelievers at first, in danger of God's wrath, aren't certain that their repentance will win God's salvation for their city and their nation. Here's what I'll tell you this morning, church. Though I desire a happy ending for the United States of America, though I desire a happy ending for every person in need of salvation as a sinner from the Lord, here's what the reality and the truth is, and Brother Matt, you can advance the slide. The reality is that in order for someone to be saved today, the Lord must be willing to show mercy. And that's that third and final point of what we've been preaching here out of the book of Jonah. We started this message saying that the church, if we're going to save this nation, if the nation will find salvation, then the church has to call the nation to repentance. Number two, the nation has to humble itself and seek repentance. But then finally, number three, if the nation's going to be saved, then the Lord must be willing to show mercy. And if He's not, then we're at the end of the story. Thankfully, today, we're going to see in this chapter that when a people, a society, sins and brings the wrath of God against them, even though it's not certain that God will have mercy on them, even though we rightfully acknowledge that there's only one nation on all the earth that God's made a covenant with, and Nineveh wasn't it. America is not it, right? Only Israel experiences that special covenant relationship. So God is obligated in no special way to us as a country, and neither was He obligated to Nineveh in any special way. Even though that's the reality, we are going to find today a God who is willing to show mercy. And so I want to talk about how it is that the Lord would be willing to put aside the judgment that was coming for Nineveh. And I want to talk about if it's possible that God might be willing to put aside the judgment that I believe He has reserved for this country. So let's consider three final realities that'll help us think about that this morning. Number one, I want to tell you today that salvation depends on the grace of God. Salvation today depends on the grace of God. Now, church, this is a fundamental truth of the Bible. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, verse 8, "For by grace," and you want to underline that, you want to bold that, you want to circle it, you want to make sure that the arrows are pointing to that word, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, I love those two verses. I love every thought and comment there that Paul makes about the reality of salvation. But I'm telling you today, the word grace is the pillar on which everything in that verse depends upon. Period. If that word wasn't there, all of that would fall apart and not be available to you and I. You know, John Newton, the songwriter, former slave trader, who wrote that sweet hymn, "Amazing Grace," he commented one time. He said, when we get all to heaven, there's going to be three wonders. He said, number one, it's going to be a wonder at who is there. Can you believe that? There's going to be, I can't believe they made it. You know? They're here. That's a wonderful thing. It's the grace of God. That's the first wonder. Number two, who is not there? Isn't that a tragedy? We're going to get to heaven one day and we're going to expect some people to be there and they're not going to be there. That's just the reality. But then finally, number three, and I think this is so true, the greatest wonder, he says, will be the fact that I'm there. Knowing who I am, what I am and what I've done, the grace of God was sufficient to deliver me into the arms of Jesus. Church, it's only by God's grace today that you and I find entry into the kingdom of heaven. And again, what's remarkable about this evil pagan king of Nineveh that we read about in these two verses was that even he understood this fundamental truth about God. He says, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not?" He understood that he was relying upon God's grace, God's unmerited favor. But Pastor Josh, don't people deserve to be saved? That's an interesting question. If you go to a lot of churches today, certainly that's how it seems. Well, of course, we're all going to heaven. You know, if you ask anybody what's going to happen to them when they die, do you know what they're going to say? "I'm going to go to heaven, I guess." "Why are you going to go to heaven?" "Well, I mean, I guess I've been good enough. I've not been too bad." I saw an interview. Again, not talking political. It's just political season. We can't get away from it. All right. President Trump, they asked him about heaven, and I believe they said, "Hey, how do you get to heaven?" Well, I believe his answer is, "Well, you got to be good enough. I think you earn your way to heaven." That is wrong, church. There's nobody here today, no matter who you are, that when you leave this world, God's going to say to you, "Oh, well, welcome in. You did enough. You're good enough. You didn't break this rule, this rule, this rule, so I guess you're allowed in." The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. So that means that every person who's ever lived on this earth is guilty of violating the law of God, is a sinner in His eyes, and left in our own condition. We would die and go to hell today. Paul goes on in Romans 3. after he says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Can I be honest with you this morning, church? The biggest obstacle standing in the path of this nation from having a revival and salvation is that they don't understand that they need it. That's the biggest problem with America today. We feel like we're good enough. There's a secular ideology that puts man's values above all others, and they feel like if they do and say and be the right things, if they're progressive enough, if they're, you know, following the right way the wind blows at any certain time, well, hey, we're pretty good. We deserve everything that comes our way. Well, church, I'm going to tell you right now, this nation does deserve everything that's coming its way. But it isn't the good things that it thinks it deserves. It's the wrath of God that's coming. And I'm going to tell you today, if you're sitting here lost in your sins, you are reserved right now, this very moment, for a meeting with God after you die. And if you go to Him in your sin, the end of that judgment will be that you're condemned to a devil's hell forever. And you will not escape it. There in that place you will suffer for eternity. That's the end of every man and woman in and of themselves today. King of Nineveh knew that. He said, who can tell? Church, I'm going to tell you that no one's saved today unless the Lord convicts them of their sins and calls them to salvation. That's the fact of the Bible. Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus again said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Your salvation today doesn't depend on you coming to your senses and you standing up and saying, I need a Savior. That's not what it's about. It's the Spirit of God today that speaks to the heart of the sinner. It's the Spirit of God that calls a sinner to repentance. If you're here today and you know you're a sinner, and you're hearing the voice of God today speak to you, that's why it's so important that when that voice comes, today you respond in faith. Because you don't know if tomorrow that voice will return. God doesn't owe it to you to convict you of your sins again from this point forward. He may never convince you you're a sinner again. You may go the rest of your life, no matter how long or how short, thinking that you're just fine and never have applied the blood of Jesus to your heart because you didn't respond when He called. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. You may not have another time for the voice of the Lord to speak to you today. That gets uncomfortable, preacher. I know, but maybe you got to be uncomfortable today so you'll get saved and you'll put your sin behind you. Salvation depends upon God's grace today. And without God's grace, not one of us will come to Him. The Lord is sovereign. His grace will save those who respond in faith to His call. What hope, then, does our nation have today? Well, number two, we have the hope in the fact that we have a merciful Lord. Yes, salvation depends solely upon the grace of God. And yes, the king of Nineveh was right to say, who can tell if He'll save sinners like us? But maybe what the king didn't know was that the Lord he was calling out to is a Lord who knows how to show mercy. Church, you and I, even though the king didn't know this God, even though he wasn't familiar with the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, you and I have the witness of this Word. And we know exactly who this Lord is. We know today that He is merciful. The story of the Bible confirms that the Lord who sits on the throne of heaven loves mercy more than wrath. That ought to be shouting ground today, church. The God in heaven loves mercy more than He loves wrath. That means He desires more that you would come to be saved rather than to put you in hell where you belong. That ought to make us jump up on our pews and run around this building 3 or 4 times because God loves us so much that He'll rescue us from His wrath. That's a good thing today, church. We have a merciful God. The Word of the Lord confirms that. Time and again, when given a choice between judgment and mercy, even though the people of this world deserve judgment, the Bible tells us God chooses mercy. Church, I'm like the king of Nineveh. I don't know if America can be spared. We certainly don't deserve to be. Our sins are many. I've talked about them over these last several weeks. You know what they are already. I don't know if God will spare this country. But I do know my God in heaven. My God in heaven is willing to save. My God in heaven is willing to rescue. My God in heaven has always been willing to pour His mercy down on those who truly need it. And that's exactly what He did in the book of Jonah for Nineveh. The Bible says after the king made that statement, verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. You want to highlight something else in your Bible? Highlight those two little words. God saw. Aren't you glad God sees and hears the cry of repentance from a sinner today? Listen, there's a lot of things going on in the world back then. There were just as many people back then, maybe more, I don't know, as there are today. Out of all the people that were talking and praying and singing and doing all the things in the world that time, the Bible says God saw the repentance of Nineveh. Aren't you glad one day, Christian, wherever you were, when that voice of the Lord came so sweetly speaking to you in that hour, don't you know you're a sinner? Don't you know you need Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Don't you know that without His mercy, you'll be put and condemned in a devil's hell? Don't you know you need that? Don't you know that when you responded to that call, aren't you glad that God saw your repentance this morning? Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, what hope that is. What joy it is to know that God still hears the cries of repentance from sinners today. We have a merciful Lord who, just like He saw the king and the people of Nineveh, He'll see you. He'll hear you when you call upon His name. God's still able to do that today. There's a prayer that God will hear, church. He's willing to listen. He wants to see it. Let me just tell you this. I'll move on to my final point. Do you know that Jesus says two men went to the temple to pray one day? One a Pharisee and the other a publican. And He continues to say here, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know who Jesus said God heard? You know what Jesus said, which prayer God heard? He heard the prayer of the sinner, church. He still hears the prayers of sinners today. If you and I hear the call of the Lord, if the Spirit is moving, if the Lord's speaking right now, young man, young woman, you owe it to yourself to call upon the Lord as a sinner. God will have mercy, but He'll only have it on a sinner. He won't have it on anybody else. If you're too good, if you're too proud, if you don't acknowledge Him as Lord, He won't have mercy on you. And I'll tell you right now, there is no hope in our past. Oh, but America's been so good. America's been such a blessing to the world. Oh, America's sent out so many missionaries. America's done this. America's done that. God has mercy on sinners who call out for repentance. That's the hope today. You putting your hope in your family? You putting your hope in your friends? Oh, my daddy was a Christian. Oh, my mama was a Christian. Oh, I went to church. They took me to church. Oh, they prayed for me. It don't matter today. It's your call. God has to hear. He has to hear the words out of your mouth. Christ, help me. I'm a sinner. That's what he needs to hear from America. Oh, that America would do what this sinner did that Jesus spoke about in the parable. Because here's one thing that our nation knows that Nineveh did not. Finally, number three, not only is salvation depending upon the grace of God, not only do we have a merciful Lord, but number three, he's already proven himself as a Savior. He's already proven himself as a Savior. Listen, church, we've established this morning that Nineveh didn't know the Lord. They were used to fickle and callous gods who didn't care whether they lived or died. They couldn't be certain with their theological knowledge how God would respond to their repentance. But praise God, God soon showed Nineveh who he was. He goes on here in verse 10 after he saw all their repentance. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Are you seeing the miracle, church? It was certain. It was sure. It was 40 days away. The wrath planned for Nineveh was miraculously, though, turned aside by the grace of God, working in conjunction with the mercy of God, responding to the people's faith in God. The Lord who had sent and come to Nineveh as a judge became a Savior to the city. Now, church, this nation, America, they know who the Lord is. This nation, America, has heard the story of Jesus. This nation, America, has heard about the God who left His throne, who put on flesh to be born in a manger and die on a cross. They've heard His words in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if they'd been paying attention, they would remember what He said immediately following that in verse 17, "For God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Church, we're living in perilous times. We're living in a nation of increasingly wicked people. People today will do or take or prescribe to just about anything anybody tells them, if they think it'll make them feel better, or if it'll heal them, or to give them a better life. And listen, I don't blame them, all right? Things in this life are tough. You tell me I got some sort of medicine or something to help you out, then I'm going to listen. I'm going to want to take part in that. But here's the ironic thing. What this nation needs more than anything has been here since its founding. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a cure for this country's many sins. There is a remedy for the wrath that's coming. His name is Jesus Christ. He's been saving for 2,000 years. And if the Lord tarries His coming, He'll save for 2,000 more. He's the Savior this country needs. And listen to me, young man and young woman, He's the Savior you need today. And if He's speaking to you, you better listen to His voice. God's proven Himself a Savior. We don't have to fear His wrath today, because we know under the new covenant, if we turn to Jesus, we'll receive the full pardon of our sin. And unlike all these other medicines and concoctions that we take today, this remedy's 100% effective. It's never failed any case it's ever been applied to. That's what we have to put our hope in. Church, pray will call on His name today. Here's how I want to close. What will be the end of this great country? I'm going to tell you today, it's not a question of if. It's a question of when this country will end. Because it will end. The Bible's clear about that. This world will pass away. And a new heaven and a new earth will come down. And America won't be part of that new heaven and new earth. It'll be the kingdom of God. And so the only question that remains then is if the Lord is merciful and America survives until Christ returns, then we know that the last day of this country will be the day that the USA will step upon the plains of Armageddon as it joins all the other kings and nations of this world to rebel against God one last time. That'll be the final end of America if it lasts that long. It'll be destroyed by Christ as He comes down to heaven with a word. But I'm telling you today, church, America may not make it that long. It depends today what this country does. So what hope can I leave you with then in the face of this judgment that's certain if people won't respond like Nineveh responded? Here's how I'll end. In the days of Noah, the Lord sent His word to Noah, and He told Noah something was going to happen that had never happened in the history of the world. He said, Noah, water is going to fall from the sky. It's going to flood this entire world, and just about everything will be destroyed. But Noah, I'm going to rescue you. And I'm going to rescue your family. And He told him how to build an ark. And He told him what to do with that ark. But you know how long it took Noah to build that ark? What's the Bible say? 120 years to build that ark. And what does the Bible say that Noah did while he was building that ark? He preached the word of the Lord to everybody who would listen. But listen, Brother Roger, we get a little discouraged when we preach. We spend our lives in, Brother Roger's a preacher, if you don't know. When we spend years in service to the Lord, we don't see anybody convert to the Lord. Noah preached for 120 years the true Word of God. And when God closed those doors, you know who was on that boat? 8 people, Noah and his family. That was it. And all those people on the face of the earth, they faced that same judgment that God prophesied against Nineveh. The same judgment that's coming for America if this country doesn't turn from its wicked ways. So what hope can I give you? Well, here's the hope I'll give you. Noah's hope was in the promise of God. His hope was in that ark that God supernaturally told him how to build that would survive that calamity. Church, you and I have an ark as well. Even if this country continues in its evil, even if things wax worse and worse, I want to tell you, those doors won't shut till you get on board if you'll turn to God in faith. The ark of this age is Jesus Christ. He's the one that God sent to this world. And in this church age, if any will hear the word of the Lord, if any will respond to the conviction of their sins, if any will call upon His name, today they can get on board. And no matter what happens to this country, no matter what happens to this world, you and I can escape it unscathed and live forevermore. But the preaching's right now. The Word is speaking today. Noah preached for 120 years. You think there were people that ever told him to shut up, Noah? You only got 3 messages and you preach them all. You should preach the same message every time. We're tired of hearing it. Listen, he didn't have a Bible to preach from. I don't know how he preached for 120 years. I struggled just preaching through a year. He preached 120 years. The people got comfortable. Oh, what's Noah doing? Oh, he's out there preaching. Oh, he's preaching again. He says the world's going to end. Water's coming from the sky. Can you believe that? And then you know what happened one day? The clouds came across the sky. The wind started blowing. The lightning started flashing and the thunder started rolling. And when the water started hitting the ground, then they ran to the ark. But God had shut the door. And they all perished alive. You hearing me? Today's the day of salvation. Today, right now, I don't know how much longer it's going to be open. The ark's open. Will you get on board? There will come a day when you will call upon the name of the Lord, and then you'll have to call upon rocks and mountains because He won't be heard. But today you can call upon Jesus and find salvation. Will this country respond? I don't know. You don't know. But you are in charge of how you respond. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? When our musicians come, we're going to give an invitation this morning. If you're not familiar with what invitation is, we're going to sing one verse of a song together. And I'm going to invite you as the preacher this morning to consider what the Lord said to you. And if you feel convicted, if you feel as though the Lord is speaking to you, then you have the opportunity today, whether it be in your pew or whether you come down to this altar and I put my arm around you and I pray with you. You have the opportunity to respond to what the Lord's saying. As I've preached, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen later today. I know judgment's coming, if not for this country, in the immediate, for this world, in the certain. And I know what the destiny of every unbeliever is. You may not live to see the judgment of God, but you'll certainly live to see the judgment seat of God. In that you'll pass out of this world and you'll be brought before the King of heaven and earth. What is it that you'll have to say to God in that day? Will you stammer? Will you make up some nonsense about, oh, well, I did this, and I was this, I wasn't as bad as this guy. Oh. It'll all fall on deaf ears. The Bible says to those who have such a defense, He'll say, depart from me, thou work of iniquity, I never knew you. There's only one defense that will stand on that day. Have mercy on me, God, I'm a sinner. I knew Jesus, your Son. I claim Him as my Savior. That's the ark today. That's the salvation offered. Let's pray and then we'll sing. And if it's you that God's speaking to today, I encourage you, don't walk, run to get on board. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings of life. We thank You, God, for Your leadership and Your guidance this morning. We thank You for Your presence. God, I'm just going to get out of the way now. God, I can't convict anybody. God, I can't save anyone. I'm just a messenger. It's not my word, God, it's Yours. And God, my weak, stammering lips, they're not sufficient to convince anyone of the truth of what's being preached. But God, Your Spirit is effective. Your God, Your Spirit convinced me one day I needed a Savior. It convinces me now, even still. God, I believe You can convince someone here today. If they don't know You, they need You before it's everlasting too late. So God, we open this altar. We turn it over to You. Anyone who will come, let them come. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet as we sing this one hymn of invitation. You come. If it's you the Lord's speaking to.